Are you opposed to every vaccine out there?
I really don't feel that they're necessary, George. I feel that the risk of the disease is much lower than the risk of the vaccine. And through the 7,500 hours of research that I've done over the last 6 years, you know, my position on that has gotten stronger and stronger as the years have gone by. It's like each year that I put into more and more information, and I spend 2 to 3 hours almost every day researching that, I just feel that we are causing immune system disruption, leading to more infection, more problems, kids being sicker and sicker and sicker, because now, the numbers are just staggering. I mean, as recently as 1985, kids got 33 vaccines by the time they started kindergarten. And now with the introduction of the influenza vaccine starting at 6 months of age for babies and to be given annually for the rest of their lives, kids now get more than 100 vaccines and about 30 shots by the time they start kindergarten.
And I'm sure I got my share of them when I was a kid. And I've always wondered, sometimes you never know if it's going to affect you or not long term. You know, but one of the problems, Sherry, is schools, for example, school districts scare the heck out of parents by basically telling them, your kid's not going to be allowed in school without immunizations. And this is beyond the religious objection. So what do you do if you don't want to give your kids vaccinations, but the school district is compelling you to?
I am so glad you brought that up, because I think it's one of the most important questions that parents need to have the answer to that is just not generally known, is the exemptions that every state have for the right to refuse vaccines for your kids to get into the public school system. Every state has a medical exemption, which can be a little bit hard to get in terms of getting your kids into school, because the medical exemption usually comes for a particular vaccine after you've had a particular problem. But there are more and more doctors that are willing to write exemption letters if your children are chronically ill. That's every state. Every state except West Virginia and Mississippi have religious exemptions to where that you can write the letter in a certain way to say that I really believe that introducing viruses, bacteria, and toxic chemicals into my body is not allowing the God-given immune system that I have to support my own health, and I don't want that for my children. There are organizations out there that can help you write those letters. There are 16 states that have what's called a philosophical exemption, and I'm here in Ohio, and Ohio is fortunately one of those states. That means that once you get some information and you decide you don't want your children to have any more of these vaccines, all you have to do is to fill out an exemption form. Schools are required to have either an exemption form on file or a completed vaccination record, but most schools will not tell you that. And parents often ask the question, well, gee, my kids have had some of the vaccines. If I stop giving them, will that be okay? Well, certainly. I sort of think about, you know, if you were beating your child and you decide to stop them, would that be okay?
Yeah.
It's like yes, it would be perfectly fine. It doesn't harm anything. So at any point in time, if you decide that, you know, they've had some, I feel like that gives them a little bit of protection and that's where my security is, you can stop at any time. So those exemption forms are available all across the board.
What do you do with a parent, Sherry, who may possibly be opposed to vaccines, but they're petrified of being wrong to the point where they don't want to use their kid as the experiment, basically. And they say to themselves, my God, if I don't let them get these vaccines, what if they come down with this disease? They could die. I don't want to be responsible for that. To them, maybe they think it's safer to give the kid the vaccine.
It's all about education and information, George. I mean, it really is. I mean, that's why, you know, at the top of the hour when you said that I was going to be willing to just give away this information to your listeners, you know, with the purchase of the book, because I feel like the education, the 3-hour DVD has all of the answers to this. And I think that once parents realize that the risk of the vaccine is there no matter what, and that once they understand the infectious processes and they're not so fearful of the disease, they'll get the understanding that the risk of the disease in almost all cases is less than the risk of the vaccine. The other part is that you can get the vaccine and still get sick. So you can still get measles. If you get the MMR, you can still get measles. You can still get rubella. I mean, you can get the chickenpox vaccine, which has a very high failure rate, and still get chickenpox. But then you've also assumed all the risk that goes along with getting that vaccine. And as I've found that over the years of doing this and my experience of speaking with lots of parents, not only in my own practice, but at seminars and through radio programs such as yours and others, that once parents get it and once they understand it and they can wipe out the fear, which is just like the fear-based, the stuff of the bird flu that we've been talking about, once they understand it, they can eliminate the fear. They don't feel like it's such a risky proposition anymore.
What is the general flu season? How long does it last?
It generally there's two answers to that question. One is, when is the flu vaccine season? And the other is, when is the flu season? The flu vaccine season, they start really pushing the vaccine around August or September, because that's when the vaccine becomes available. And that's when I think they're really going to start pushing the bird flu, is when the vaccine becomes available. And it's
right.
Probably going to be next fall. So they start pushing that because they want you to have the shot anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks to develop an antibody level, supposedly to protect you before the flu season kicks in. The flu season, really, technically the way we think about it, starts about December and goes through about March. Now, my take on that is that what we have really when the flu season comes is we really have Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, where the kids get pounds and pounds and pounds of sugar between Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, and then the flu starts around January, February. And I think that people's immune systems are so shut down by the horrible stuff that they're eating, just because it's socially acceptable to do during those times of year, that their resistance is down. They're in closed areas. Most of us living in North America, you know, it's winter time and we're all inside and all that other stuff. So I think that that's really kind of what happens.
So the flu season technically is over with for this season, right?
Yes. Another thing about the flu that I think is the flu shot, just the general garden variety flu shot that I think is really important, is in the last year, since September of last year, the Cochrane Collaboration, which is a international consortium of scientists who do systematic reviews of research data on a particular subject, they have done three reviews on the flu shot, one about the elderly, one about normal healthy adults being vaccinated, and about children ages 6 to 23 months for which the flu shot is now being recommended. They do this research, for example, when they looked at the information on children, they looked at 51 studies that involved more than 260,000 kids, and even had 17 of the papers they were reviewing. The papers had been written in Russian. They had them translated so they could evaluate the data. And at the end of that data, they said that there is very little evidence that to mandate vaccination of babies. There's been no safety studies done and no research that it proves it's effective. And the results were equally as dismal for adults. When they looked at studies that involved more than 60,000 people, only 6% of the people that were vaccinated had a reduced number of influenza and only decreased the amount of missed work days by 0.16 days on average.